You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan.
Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future, assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast.
This week on Famicom Dojo, we talk about Toys to Life games and how Nintendo tried to get in on this fad 30 years before it was cool. I finally succumbed to peer pressure, and Vic explains why gamepad-only gaming doesn't always cut it. Support Famicom Dojo by sponsoring an episode. Go to littlepodcast.com, select Famicom Dojo from the drop-down, and click the donate button. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Hey, Vink.
That voice is familiar. Was it Scene?
I feel like we've done this before.
Yes, we have.
We've made this joke before.
We have made this joke before.
It has been a while. It has been a while since the last new episode.
Not that long.
Not terribly so. It is episode 126, and it did occur to me that we promised like a fan episode every 25 episodes or so.
Yes.
So that should have been the last one we did, been thinking about it, but we forgot.
You know,
that's
what?
Just all
I like
do
to
it.
Think that every episode is for the fans.
Well, I mean, we've done some new things, like, you know, the Denshi Mail thing kind of functions as very fan oriented, but we can still do something special.
I think so.
But it's special that we're back. I think that's what we're trying to say.
That is special. Where did we go?
Well, I mean, whenever we have a gap, you know, the podcast itself, I think, benefits because we like always tweak it when we do come back. But specifically, we were working on the Kickstarter.
Yep.
Which I'm sure people are sick of hearing about because it's still not done. But it's a lot of work, you guys. The video is done. We mentioned last time we talked about the Kickstarter that we were working on it. It is done now.
And I got another Dojo Snacks coming up, and you've got another video in the can too. So we've got some stuff to put on there.
Well, like working on that video is kind of what I wanted to talk about because I had the fortune during this break to play Lego Dimensions.
Ooh! Oh no! Don't tell me about it.
Why not?
Because I've decided I don't want it, but if you talk to me about it, I might.
Oh, no. Well, I guess we're all done, so thanks for coming
back
to the show, everyone.
All right, thanks for listening to the podcast. No, okay. Okay, tell me about Lego Dimensions, because I like Doctor Who, and I like Back to the Future, and I like Legos. How much is it?
Well, the whole thing makes me... I'm not really sure, because, you know, it comes with that with this pad you use to stick your figures on. Right, like this USB pad, kind of like Skylanders, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I guess I don't. I gotta say I'm not too. I've never played one of these Toys to Life games actually. So
okay.
Can you tell me a little about them in general or this one specifically? Either way you want to go.
Sure. So you have this base that you stick your figures on. And in this case, it's a portal. That looks like a Stargate.
Okay, and that's what it's a near field communication something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Okay.
There's seven spots on it. You can use for a simultaneous play.
Okay.
Any of the figure sets that at least the ones I played with come with three. Yeah. So there's your main character and two accessories, I guess you can call them. That you use in the game in the levels
are
that are specific to that character.
Other characters.
Sort of. I mean, you can...
For Skylanders or whatever, I've only really seen characters. Then again, Skylanders is not big in Japan. I should point that out. I've only ever seen two figures ever here. But when I was back in the States, there were a bunch of, like, figure sets.
I don't know anything about Skylanders, unfortunately. Just a general idea of here's a toy you can buy that plugs into this game, and the game may or may not be any good.
Okay.
But the figures are probably where a lot of the money is, because you know you can shift one unit of the game, but then a variable amount of figures depending on the tastes of the person.
Okay.
And like Amiibo is that way too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I only own two, so.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's a long story. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Let's hold off on Amiibos, because that's a whole nother can of worms.
So, did you say a whole nother?
Yeah,
I have a pet peeve about that. Anyway, that's you know what? No, let's keep going. Lego. So, I am less upset about Lego, because on their own, like, it's a whole set. It's still like a Lego set. So the two sets I played with were the Back to the Future one and the Portal one. Not in that order, though. I played with the Portal one first. And, like, there's a Doctor Who one that just came out.
Wait. Portal, like, Portal?
Yes, like Portal.
Valve, like, Portal?
Yes, like Aperture Science, like Chell.
I did hear about that. That is a weird matchup.
I have had a friend who said that he wanted to buy this game just so he could play more Portal.
Well, Valve's never going to give you any more, so... I'm guessing these sets are pretty expensive on their own, right?
Probably, yes.
Do you need the console room to unlock that content for the game?
No, just the figures.
If you get just the figure, you can play the content, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is physical DLC, right? Basically.
In a way, yes. And that's why I kind of don't like this idea, because I kind of don't want game content to be hidden behind these very expensive paywalls.
Now, the object of this game is that they have all these worlds kind of colliding, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you can be Marty McFly in a Doctor Who story or something?
Yeah, you can.
So they're not self-contained.
No. Well, kind of. I mean, there are levels specific to the characters in those sets.
I suppose.
Okay. And then there's the main game, which is Wild Style from the Lego Movie, Batman also from the Lego Movie,
yeah.
Gandalf, and is there a fourth one I'm missing? Probably. But you play through the main game with that, and then there are like offshoots, like little things you can do with characters that have specific abilities. And then there's more game to unlock. And then I guess as you buy these sets, there's also specific sets for those characters. So like I played with the Portal one, like, you know, there were Portal levels, but it's all third person because this game is all like a third person game. There's specific goals. Like generally what you do in these games.
Lego games before.
You have? I haven't. So
I played Lego City Undercover, which is fantastic. That's the Wii exclusive one. It's basically Lego GTA.
Okay.
Really good. Very funny.
But
I've also played a little bit of Lego Star Wars, and I think that's pretty similar.
Has it? I wouldn't know. It's the only Lego game I've ever played.
Okay.
So at least the levels I did play, the Back to the Future one especially, like all you really do is you have a couple of like vignettes from the first movie, and then you kind of go around the area destroying things, and then you get blocks, and then you build whatever your objective is.
Yep, I think that's most of the games are like
okay.
You can just kind of punch anything and pick up, and you've got like little gold and silver ones too that are kind of money.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay so I guess I understand what the game is going to be like. Okay, here's my question.
Sure.
So you buy your base set.
Yeah.
It's like, what, $100 or something? 80? Something.
You know what? Well, keep talking. I'm going to look that up.
Okay. So you buy that, and it comes with one or another figure. And this base thing to hook up to it. Okay. If I just got, I don't know if this is one of the sets, but say I just got the Back to the Future set.
Yeah.
Am I going to encounter Doctor Who elements, or do I need to unlock them by buying? I mean, of course, some of it is obviously behind this paywall, but will some of it be encountered, or do I really, to get this full game, need to buy every set?
Oh, God. I mean, if you want to play every single piece of content, you need, like I said, characters with specific power sets. So like if you need like someone with laser vision or something like that, you can have Superman will work okay. for that. Or maybe there's like sorry, bad example. X-ray vision. Superman has X-ray vision. Cyberman have X-ray vision. There's like some kind of ninja, I guess. So you need characters with a specific kind of power. But then there's also apparently for these sets like Doctor Who and Back to the Future and everything else that there are levels specific to those characters, and so you can't play those unless you have the character.
So do you have now, once you put this stuff on, does it unlock forever? Or do you always have to have these characters on the base?
You have to have the characters on the base to play.
Oh, that's dirty. But it's not. Oh, man. Like 10-year-old me would have totally eaten that up. I can feel it right now. 10-year-old me would have been. No, I would have had them all.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like the Amiibo especially, I'm sure that if this is still a thing Nintendo is doing when my kids are old enough, that I will be buying this for them as someone who is starting to edge out of the demographics that companies care about.
Yeah.
Not so much for me. But I'm looking here. The starter pack. Ooh. Okay, well, right now, and this is as of... this is like the second week of November 2015 we're talking about here. I'm looking on Amazon and it's like $100 for the Wii U. Well, any console, Wii U, PS4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, $100 for the starter pack.
Okay.
And that includes the game. It looks like Batman, Wild Style, and Gandalf, and the base. And on Amazon, it's $85 right now. And that's sorely tempting. I gotta say, and I have Prime, so it'll be free shipping if I get it this way.
You know,
oof.
Christmas is coming up.
That's right.
What about your old buddy Vink?
You were saying no. So okay, all right. So these sets.
Okay.
The game pieces. All right, I think I said something wrong earlier. The game pieces, there are sets that are just specifically the game pieces that you can get. So the Doctor Who one is $30. So that comes with like a little TARDIS figure. It's not like the full-blown TARDIS Lego thing. And then there's like a K-9 one. You still have to build these. And part of this game in specific, too, is that you get instructions for upgraded modes and like the fuller sets. I think sometimes you don't get the instructions for how to build them unless you get through them in the game.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. So I don't know if I'm right about that or not. Sorry, Phil. He's tried to explain this to me more than once.
Well, I mean, I think we've got a disadvantage in that we're not 10. I mean, we'd totally get this if we were 10. It's just like Pokemon now. It's like, how can you memorize all those?
I don't think they expect anyone to.
Old man yells at Cloud. Anyway.
Right.
So there's no starter set that comes with the Doctor Who or the Back to the Future stuff.
Right. No.
I'm already $130 into this. Maybe
yes.
$160 into this.
$130. Yeah, unless you get some discounts on this stuff.
I need Back to the Future and I need Doctor Who. If I don't have those two, I don't even know why I'm going to play.
Right.
But the thing is, I guess for me, and that's because I'm an old fogey now and don't have a lot of time or room for toys. You know, for me, a standalone $60 Lego Back to the Future game or Doctor Who Lego game, it sounds like a more appealing proposition. Why should I care about Toys to Life?
I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that for you. I'm not entirely sure I'm sold, but like having the Legos because they are Legos and they have some value, at least outside of the game, that is more appealing to me than Skylanders or more appealing to me than Amiibo, which are just statues. They're really nice, but you know, I don't need to collect them for the sake of collecting them. Like in some cases here, you might have the figures already. Like the, I'm seeing like a Unikitty from.
Yeah.
You know, but the base is what's important here. The base is what makes it part of the game. So you can stick anything you want to on top of it. It's not really going to matter. But oh, mm-hmm. there's a Doc Brown one with like the train from the Back to the Future 3.
Oh man.
Jeez.
So like, if I really want
traveling time train, wasn't
I mean
it?
we're talking. You could blow like $300-$500 on this, couldn't you?
Easily, which is, you know, why I'm just kind of like, Lego. But
one thing I do like, and maybe this goes against previous statements of mine, though, is that unlike a lot of other DLC, which requires to be downloaded, this stuff's probably on the disc. And if you have these physical items, it's probably going to be future proof. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They can't have
because there's going to be so many add-ons. They can't have everything on the disc. There's just
no way.
Well,
I suppose not. I mean, because they're going to add additional stuff, but I bet at least the initial stuff.
Sure. I mean, there are, you know, like Phil was telling me, he's been playing this game, and there are spots where it's really obvious that only something like the TARDIS can unlock these areas. So they had some idea to begin with what specific items or at least like what very small subset of items will unlock different areas of these games. But I'm sure like the character specific stuff was not, at least for the most part, was not done as part of the base game. So it's still DLC. You're just also getting something worthwhile out of it that won't.
Okay.
You know, it's like there are three pieces of DLC for Dragon Age now. Like, it's been a year since I bought this game and my PS4, by the way. It's been a year. Yeah. And I'm still playing this darn game because it's like I'm a father of three and it's 100 gajillion hours long. I mean, gathering those herbs just takes forever. I'm really glad the bad guy is patient and lets me do that for
months on end.
But I'm playing the second out of two DLC or sorry, three DLC packages, and you know, I finish it and I'm done. I might never look at it again, whereas I might have Legos forever. Yeah. Right. But then I have to have Legos forever if I ever want to play it again. That's the other part. So,
yeah.
But you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Big, meaty main topic.
Delicious, delicious main topic.
Speaking of the video that we were working on, a video for the NES's 30th anniversary, which we'll have missed by about 3 weeks when this comes out. But still close. It's the same year, not the same month. I was gunning for that at least when I missed the specific day. But it'll be out. It'll be pretty good, I think. And one of the things that it reminded me of was that Nintendo tried this way back 30 years ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Oh, you. Thanks for playing dumb for me.
The audience might not know I'm playing, but yes.
Oh my God. So
okay, but I mean not exactly the same, but yeah.
No, it's not exactly
Toys
the same.
To life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
there's a very good reason for it too.
Yeah. So you know, back in the early 80s, there was this thing called the video game crash that did not affect Japan, but it really affected North America, and Atari brought the whole market to its knees, essentially. At least that's the story, and Atari was still part of the video game market after this happened, so don't.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a whole fun story too. But Nintendo made a splash and was able to revive it by their original deluxe set, which to spoil the video for you.
Let's spoil the video. They've watched it by now.
Okay.
They've watched it by now.
If you haven't watched it by now, go back, watch it. It's about 6 minutes long, and then come back here. This podcast is way longer than that. You could probably watch that video a couple times just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? So, okay. Now you've watched the video, you're back and you want to hear what we have to say. So this would be a little bit of a refresher for you of this video you just watched, but, we had, you know, the base console, two controllers, Rob, the Zapper, Gyromite and Duck Hunt.
That is a nice pack. I mean, think about that still today. I mean, now you get one controller, you get no game. That was a nice pack.
And that was $200 too. So $200 in US in current dollars is like $450 or something.
Something like that. But you know what? That's still a good pack.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. So the thing about Rob specifically is that it's kind of gimmicky, but I thought it was super cool when I was a kid. It's a robot, and you can use this thing to play with it through your TV. Everyone has a TV.
Yep.
So you have this console thing, and then you have this like zapper gun.
Yep.
That you use to play this other game, and that's a lot of fun. And you can play games, video games on this too. Yeah. Okay. Because the NES was based off of hardware that was 2 years old in Japan already, there were a ton of launch titles for it, including Super Mario Brothers. So you had a lot to choose from. And if you got Super Mario Brothers after having this base pack, I mean, you were set for a while, I would say.
When I got mine, I had Super Mario Brothers and I had Pac-Man, and I was good for months and months.
Right? I mean, later packs had Super Mario Brothers as like a multi-card, but... Yep. You know, to start with, it wasn't like the original pack-in game.
No, it wasn't, which surprises a lot of people because you kind of think of that as being the pack-in.
Right, because it was for so long. But
yeah, but I got when did you enter the world of Nintendo?
I got my own NES in 1988, which I think we talked about in episode 100.
Yeah, I was 88 or 89. I just missed the robot days because they didn't need it anymore. We didn't go over why they needed it.
Right.
Oh, because stores were incredibly reluctant to bring video games in because they'd taken a wash on it for during the video game crash, and they had unsold inventories that they were just trying to clearance and get rid of. So when Nintendo came and went, "Hey, video games," they're like, "No thanks." But Nintendo's like, "Did I say video games? I meant interactive TV robot." And they're TV robot.
They had deals with like Toys R Us, so it's like it was a toy. It wasn't a video game system that was sold through Sears or something.
Like when PlayStation 2 was like, "It's a DVD player."
Exactly.
you know.
But I mean, there's so many parallels, I feel like, with that set and like this Lego Dimensions starter pack. I mean, you have to have one of these three families of consoles to play it, but you know, I feel like it's a very similar idea, and Robin specific is a very interesting case because there were in fact two games for it.
Yep.
And I think game might be a little too strong of a word in the case of Stack Up.
Well, yeah.
I mean
Gyromite's a real game.
Yeah, though. Gyromite you can play without Rob. Stack Up, there's no point. The Stack Up's more like a utility for Rob.
To play Gyromite, you need someone to do something on controller 2, though, right? To play without Rob.
I'm trying to remember. Yes, controller 2 opens and closes the doors.
Yeah,
I think you control. Was it Professor something?
Something. Yeah.
God, this is terrible. We're so knowledgeable about video games, you guys.
We know everything. He was also in Tetris DS.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And the two robot games.
You know, you're able to play that game either with a friend or you can just switch between the controllers as you need to. But Stack Up is the thing that you use to give Rob instructions to play the Stack Up game. And you know, if Rob's not there, nothing really happens. It's just, it flashes on the screen. You have Mr. Doctor Man hopping around the screen on like a virtual controls that, like, you know, up, down, left, right, open, shut.
Yeah.
Are the six commands. And that's all it does, really. I mean, there are a few modes in there, but that's like the main thing that you can do. And I'm not seeing the name of this doctor anywhere. Hold on.
Well, the real game of Stack Up, I mean, the real game, when you think about it, was not
Professor Hector.
Professor Hector, that was
assistant Professor Vector.
Wow. But I mean, the real challenge of Stack Up wasn't even the game itself. The real challenge was not losing all those pieces.
Right. Oh, geez. I don't think I've seen the complete Rob, not counting Phil, Bonds ever, really. Like my aforementioned friend from elementary school had the original deluxe set and the Gyromite and everything like that, but I had went to pieces very, very quickly.
I had a Famicom Robot with both of those games complete, and I sold them off during the Great Purge of... And now I want them again, but they... I mean, I think I paid basically about $100 for the complete raw boxed and the, both of those games boxed. Bought $100 together. It would be about $300 now. It's just ridiculous. It's not that long ago either. That's a topic. We'll talk about that topic. The ridiculous retro game inflation that I am a part of and a problem of.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, so you had that. It played two games. And then you had, what about the Light Gun?
Light Gun, I mean, had way more games than that. Ultimately. And that is another subject we definitely want to get into more.
Yep. But yeah.
The basic ones, of course, are Duck Hunt, like we mentioned, Hogan's Alley, and Wild Gunman, which, bringing it back to the Future, was featured in the second film. And
although the version they created for the film was specially made for the film.
Yes, we've talked about that before.
Yes.
I'm sure we will in the video again. Yes, it did not exist as it was, but it's very interesting playing that game and not like having played it as a kid, but just knowing it from the sound effects from the scene in the film and being like, oh yeah, that's the same. That's pretty neat. But there were other games like Gumshoe,
yeah.
Which I had never even heard of until I found a copy of it looking for converter carts and then did a little vlog about it, which is also now a Famicom Friday video on our channel.
One of the interesting things is when the Nintendo came out at first, you didn't have the option of not having the gun because every set had it up until the action set, which was 90 maybe. Much later, I mean, for the first number of years of the Nintendo's life, you didn't have a choice not to have the gun, which really helped sell gun games, which has been a problem for pretty much every system after that didn't include a gun, is that you could never be guaranteed enough sales of your game because you didn't know how many people had the peripheral. Super Scope 6 had very few games because, you know, there was no guarantee that everybody had this gun.
And I think that's why, like, most of the games that are compatible with it that were by Nintendo specifically were just, like, gun optional.
Yes. Although, I mean, trying to play some of those without the gun is really an exercise in futility.
But, I mean, just think about that. Like, you know, the gun is more of a peripheral and is prone to the problems that all peripherals have.
Yeah.
But Rob is this super interesting case to me that I want to compare to these other things, because even though I only had two games, well, a game and a utility, it was the same idea, right? Like you have something to interact with in the real world, apart from just having this game. And Rob was just cool looking and
definitely
was the envy of your friends, right? And his biggest problem was there was just one of him, and I think his other companies have been solving that problem ever since.
Yep.
It's just weird to me that it's taken like 20 plus years for someone to try and monetize that again. And it's funny to me that Amiibo in some ways is like an also-ran. You know, it like wasn't Nintendo's first thought.
No.
But
Amiibos.
There are lots of games that are just like Amiibo compatible or have had it patched in later that are like you can unlock things that either you can unlock through other methods in the game, or you know, you don't even have to own the Amiibo. You just scan it in once. It can be someone else's.
Some of them. And then some of them you got to scan it each time.
Right. But like if you want to unlock costumes in, say, Mario Kart or Mario Maker, you just have to do it once. So you can have someone's set come over. So you can like, you know, go with your friends, and if you have some that don't overlap, then you both get that. And so you don't have to buy every single one. And that's nice.
That is nice. But that's why I was kinda asking about that whole what, Lego Dimensions, whether you could just scan them in, because that is one thing I do like about Amiibos.
Well, that's that. Yeah, that's the thing, right? So, you always need like your main character you're playing with.
Yeah.
From what I understand. And then the other ones kind of come and go. You can stick them on as you need them and don't. But like generally, yeah. Especially if you're playing that character specific ones, you need the two, other little things that you play with. So I didn't mention what they were. So Portal, you have the companion cube and one of those gun turrets.
Okay.
And you need both of those to complete that level with Chell.
Okay.
But of course, along the way, there are other things you can unlock. There was like an area that needed laser vision, so Phil grabbed Cyborg for me off the shelf and stuck him in there. Cyborg being the DC Comics character,
okay,
the hero, wow. not like Cyborg Superman. And then I was able to like laser through this area and then grab something. But yeah, like the you know it's very Portal-ish, very based on those puzzles. Of jumping and the goo from Portal 2, and then you have to like point the turret at certain areas to like unlock something like the panel to stick out, and then you use your portal gun to make your portals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty neat, I gotta say. I mean, it wasn't super challenging having played an actual Portal game, but if it's someone's first introduction to the game, it's pretty good, I think.
Well, it sounds really good,
but. Back to the Future is the same way. You have the DeLorean and the hoverboard.
Yeah.
And there's a section, the first scene is basically in Doc's lab with before he's there, and then the second one's in the Twin Pines Mall. And it's a very silly game. Did I mention that? Like,
well, I mean, all the Lego games have been pretty silly.
Yeah, I haven't played that.
That's kind of one of the hallmarks of the games, is even if you take something very serious, like, I don't know, Jurassic Park or something, the Lego version of it's going to be very silly.
Yeah, like it's a lot more slapsticky. The Libyans show up in the Twin Pines Mall, right?
Okay.
And they shoot at Doc, and he like artfully dodges everything, including the rocket propelled grenade. But the thing that does him in is a baseball to the stomach, and like he kind of winks at them.
Yeah.
After he goes down. Yeah. So kind of implying something about like a fan theory about that movie, which is that Doc never was killed by the Libyans, even in the original timeline, because there was always a Marty that came back that he knew he had to befriend to keep time and space from exploding. Anyway, very.
Okay, that's interesting.
Interesting stuff. But not in a wink, literally, to the villains in game, and not in a wink to fans who have too much time on their hands and love Reddit.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, I've heard that, like, in the Doctor Who expansions, I mean, it goes so deep that Paul McGann's TARDIS is actually there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were telling me another one about the 10th Doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Phil pointed this one out to me. He has some questions for me for what specific things were. And there's like Omega's mask is in there for some reason, and he didn't know what that was. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's Omega's mask, because I'm a huge nerd. But he said that the one difference between like the 9th and 10th Doctor's TARDIS is, and I'm not sure if he meant just in the game or just like in Doctor Who in general, is the presence of a hand in a jar, which happens to be the Doctor's hand. Long story, but like, you know, in Lego form. So it's like that stick that comes out of the arm of a Lego person, and then the claw hand.
Oh, man.
In a jar. Interesting. Interesting. There's tons of little Easter eggs all over the place. You will see, I think, each of the incarnations of the Doctor at some point during these levels. And it also comes with like its own intro sequence based on the current 12th Doctor's intro sequence, but all in Lego form. It's already on YouTube, I believe. We should probably link that.
I might have to. I mean, I'm protected from it now because the shipping and handling to Japan would be so atrocious that I'm not even going to bother.
Mm-hmm.
And those games just aren't popular here, but we got something. We got. Thing is, Japan is way more into like coins and cards to life. Mm-hmm. we have all kinds of arcade machines here, especially things like Yo-Kai Watch, Pokemon, things like that, where the kids collect these little coins or cards that have chips in them, and or barcodes that kids scan at the arcades to play these various things, and they've got their binders full of these coins or cards, and some of them they can use on home versions and things too. Those are huge here, and they, like, if you have a coin with Yo-Kai Watch character on it, you can also put it into your Yo-Kai Watch, which is a toy, and it'll do something. You know, it's, those are act, you know, those are toys that, you know, kids are playing with those toys and still using. But I don't know, maybe it's due to Japan's lack of shelf space, but most of these things are in a flat format, rather, which is strange because Japan loves figures so much.
Right?
In general, figures that don't do anything. But I guess that's why amiibos are, I would say, as popular here as they are in the States.
And easier to get, from what I understand.
What?
Easier to get. There's like fewer exclusives over there, or how does that work?
Well, they don't have any store exclusives.
Okay.
There's nothing like that. So, for example, Shulk was from Xenoblade was a GameStop exclusive in America, but in Japan it's just, I mean, I don't know, but there's still the one of the main issues is they just don't print enough of the ones anybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am trying right now to get Splatoon ones, and the price has gone through the roof. Like, you can only buy them used now, and they're like $50.
Yikes.
And then I missed my 10-second window of opportunity to get the Famicom robot. So now I have the choice of paying $30, waiting and possibly playing more, or trying to luck out and see one on a store shelf. So,
oh boy.
And like, there's no, like, I don't know. I think in America, they at least like let people know when like new shipments might be coming in and things like that. But in Japan, it's just a total crapshoot. But anyway, they're popular here, and I, for the life of me, don't see why Nintendo is not going more in on this. Like, I just imagine if there was a game like Lego Dimensions featuring the Nintendo characters, I'd buy all of them.
Right? It's like Nintendo Land was kind of already like that, but there's no amiibo functionality, obviously, because it was never an amiibo game. You know, it's a launch title for the Wii U.
I think that's money being left on the table. And frankly, you got to think that probably, I mean, you know, Nintendo built in amiibo functionality to the new 3DS, and I'm guessing the NX will.
Yeah, they're not going to drop this for the next generation. There's no chance.
No, they're not going to drop amiibos, I know, but I really think, like, if they really want something that's going to bring people, you know, in, it's got to be, like, maybe one of the launch titles for the NX is something that does something more substantial with amiibos. But imagine how cool that would be, an open-world game. You know, you buy your starter pack, you've got your Mario and your Luigi and your Princess Peach or whatever, and then, you know, you can add all these other characters into the game, but when you add Star Fox characters, suddenly you can fly above the Mushroom Kingdom in an R-Wing or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I would totally buy that. Nintendo, I know you're listening to this podcast.
I mean, they got to be working on something like that. They got to be. And if it's like an NX game, that probably makes the most sense.
Because, I mean, the amiibos are already there.
Right.
You know? The Wii U controller can already read them. Wii U's kind of done, but you know, the NX, I'm sure they'll find a way to, or sell us a base station again. People will buy that, you know, if there's a big game featured around it, you know. Like, I love amiibos, but they don't really do that much.
Mm-hmm.
Except the ones that I can't get, the Splatoon amiibos, which unlock new stages and stuff.
Right. Well, it occurs to me that that Smash Brothers is the kind of crossover game that you were talking about, not designed specifically for the amiibos, but that's why, like, the entire first wave of them were, you know, Smash Brothers specific.
Well, yeah.
for several
first
waves.
Not first. I still don't think they're actually through Smash Brothers.
Well, they'll have Smash Brothers logos as part of their bases.
No. I mean, I don't, like, you're saying wave one, but no, we're on like wave seven or something now, and they're still not done with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the first several waves of characters were specifically from Smash Brothers, and they've been making others also, and they won't be done. Yep. You're right, because there's too many freaking characters. But like, can you imagine a Pokemon game that utilizes this?
Oh God. I mean, they've already got that Animal Crossing game in Japan that uses the amiibo cards.
Right. Oh, the cards are this whole other thing. Oh, God.
Is that out in America yet?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. And yeah, that's a whole another can of worms. But so you said you only have two amiibos.
Yeah.
That actually surprises me, because you're into both video games and toys.
They're not toys. They're statues. I mean, okay, sorry. When I think of toy, like, I'm a Transformers guy, so if it doesn't do stuff, then I'm not as interested in it.
I guess, but I mean, how often do you take your Transformers off the shelf and do stuff with them?
Well, now that I have an almost 4-year-old, quite frequently, because I was like, Dad, turn this into a robot. Dad, turn this back into a car.
I suppose.
So,
but I mean, for the longest time, they were, you know, they were just on your shelf.
They just sat there. Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, and that's what amiibos do. Except my kids have a little puppet theater, so they play with the amiibos.
Nice.
Using that. Well, like, they have their amiibos, and Daddy has his amiibos, and Daddy's amiibos are still in their original packaging because Daddy is still trying to decide whether he's keeping them or not.
Yeah, you put this on Facebook recently, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I did. I'd like, if people are on our Facebook, you can see my, I think, 18 amiibos that I have. I found, after I took that picture, I found that two of them weren't included in that photo. But
oh,
so
God.
I actually have 20. And when you consider that they're, how much each? I don't know, like,
I don't know, $13, yeah.
$13 or something. You know, that's a console's worth of investment in there right now. And when they're in their packaging, I can't even do anything with them. So I have, my kids have like 6 or 7 amiibos that are outside the packaging, including a Rosalina one, which is actually worth quite a bit, but, you know, it's their toy. I think it has chocolate on it now.
Nice.
But I mean, that's the thing. They're toys. They should be played with. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to, a lot of these I have, you know, I'm going to sell a lot of these. I really am. I think I'm going to keep the characters I really, really like. I want to keep the Pixel Mario, because that's neat. If I ever get a Rob, I'll keep that. If I ever get the Splatoon ones, I'll keep those. But other than that, like, I'm not a collector of toys. Unless you consider video games toys, in which case I have a huge toy collection.
Right.
But, I don't know. If they did some Skylanders-esque things, though, I could see myself keeping them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, right now, I just see one, and I'm like, oh, wow. That one might be really rare in the future. Maybe I should buy it. Stupid collector's instinct. I mean, that's why you have your two, right?
Well, you know, I bought the one I had because when I got Smash Brothers, I had to have an amiibo.
Of course.
And then I got the second one because I just happened to like Captain Falcon. I actually ruined a gift that I was going to get because someone else had gotten it for me.
Aww.
And found out that I bought it in return and got something else. But I was like, okay, I haven't opened it yet, though. So
yeah.
It's like I don't really use them. I don't know what to say. But like I found out that Mario Maker, you can actually unlock those costumes by playing like the 10 Mario, 100 Mario challenges. But Phil tells me that that only works so many times.
Really?
And the results are random, it seems.
Yeah. Oh, they're random. But no. I don't have a source right in front of me right now. But in the release hype, I had read that it is possible with due diligence and great amounts of patience to unlock every bit of content in Mario Maker without buying anything.
Okay, yeah.
But we're looking at hundreds of hours of playing.
Right. Yeah. This goes back to the gripe we've had about gateways and like a free to play stuff, which is like, you know, you pay money to either play the game, play more of the game, or to not play the game. And in this case, we'd be spending money in amiibos to not play the game.
Well, one nice thing about that, though, and one of the reasons I'm not so troubled by it is because you only need to have the amiibo or unlock that content to create a stage with it. But if someone else has it and has created a stage with that character, you don't need the amiibo to play it.
Right, that's true. That is true.
And I like that because, yes, it kind of is lame that you can't create with all these characters from the beginning. But at the same time, I would feel much more angry if it locked out stages other people had made.
Yeah,
which it doesn't.
Yeah. Well,
and speaking of Mario Maker, thank goodness adding midpoint goals.
Yes, big content update.
And scalable power-ups. I always thought that was so stupid how you know, you'd have mushrooms coming up even if you're already big, you know?
Right. Yeah, I wanted that. I've mentioned that to people before, and now I'm glad they finally added it. Super nice.
I'm really feeling is missing from that game right now is slopes.
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
For my Mario 3 style levels, because I like the slides. But other than that, it's pretty... I'm pretty content with it right now.
Well, like, slopes don't exist in the original Mario Brothers, and I think they've kept things down to what can...
So you can switch it each time. Yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense.
So that's why there are things in the original Mario Brothers now that weren't there before, like those airships...
Yeah,
and some of those tile sets that just did not exist in that before.
I can see that. But and then again, they need something for Mario Maker 2.
Right? People have been saying if there's like a some kind of like Mario Land 2 style level that they would be all over that.
Oh yeah, that was a very interesting art style there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I'd be totally into that.
Right? It's like I can't even imagine though. Like Mario Maker 2, surely you jest. They're just going to keep patching this one, right?
Well, I don't know though. The Wii U is not doing super great. And Splatoon is taking off really well for what it is. But, you know, they keep adding free content.
Right.
Everybody assumes that the next the next update is going to be where they start charging money for it. But they don't. They just keep adding free content after free content, which has kind of surprised everyone. And it's they must be working on Splatoon 2 right now as a launch title for NX. They must.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sure. It would make no sense if they weren't. So one would think they would stop with all the content for the first one, but you know, they keep going. So who knows? You can never predict Nintendo. When there's something they obviously should be doing, they don't.
Right.
They can be so generous at times and so stingy at other times. I just don't know how to predict Nintendo.
All we know for sure is that whatever we predict that they will do, they also won't.
Yes.
So there you go. Us specifically, if we predict it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. I mean, that's pretty good, I think. We want to move on to some
segments. Yes, we were born to play on this week's games. Let's act on Yu-Gi-Oh, Famicom, Dojo, August. Thank you for this video game.
So, speaking of Splatoon, let's move into My Future Retro.
Oh, great.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
for those who may have been following us on
Twitter,
I purchased Splatoon finally after peer pressure and apparently being tricked into thinking it was a Dragon Age game.
Oh man, that was hilarious. What was the box that it was put in? It was put in like a in the Splatoon box, and inside there was some form of herbs.
Yes, contains yeah.
It was like Dragon Age squids or something. I don't remember.
Well, here's
Let's put that in the show notes so people can see what we're talking about.
Yeah. What really convinced me was there was a global test fire, and my oldest got to play with me.
Yeah.
And he likes just to watch. So I'm like, well, you know, he's only like 3.5 right now. Maybe in like a year he'll want to play it, right? So he liked it. I finally decided I was going to buy it, and I picked it up. Actually, we took a trip together to go get it, because he doesn't get to ride in my car very often, so like moved the car seat over, and I think he and his brother came with me, so it was the three of us, and we like went out, picked up the game. I had some coupons I could use, so that's kind of where I am now with like buying video games, is needing coupons. But anyway, you know, brought it home, and he would watch me play it, but then he started getting curious about playing it himself. And that got a little weird, because it's like you can only play really online.
Yeah.
Minus the dojo mode, which I had not tried yet. So
it's terrible.
Well, hold on.
All right.
Hold on now.
I mean, nothing connected with dojo could ever be bad.
That's exactly right. but so we would take turns.
Okay.
And then like when I was away at work, and the other boys are taking their naps, like he and my wife will play, around, you know, noontime or something like that. So I came home one, and I was like level 12 somehow.
Yep.
So I feel kind of bad, because he doesn't really control the camera stick, and he's done pretty well before.
Yeah.
Like been on the winning team and like didn't get squished too many times and actually contributed to the victory somehow. But for the most part, he doesn't like get the objective of the game and just likes to have fun goofing around.
Yeah.
More or less.
Games.
He's three, you know? But it's like I feel bad for the other players who are like trying to play a serious game. So like we don't do ranked matches ever, and I don't think we did it during like the one what are they called?
Splatfest.
Yeah. During the one Splatfest, like we just had like Pirates versus Ninjas, recently, and that was my first Splatfest, so I got to play that a little bit. We did find dojo mode eventually, and that made my wife feel better, because then they can play together and not just take turns.
Yeah,
and since we were able to do that, like that's all he wants to do.
Oh, I see.
Well, so like for the sake of my children, I have bought Splatoon, and I actually really do enjoy it now. But I was very skeptical going in, because I'm like, it just seems from the test fire, it just seems like it's kind of, you know, a low grade first person shooter, but it's fun and cute. But then you were trying to convince me, it's like, no, there's more to it than that. The test fire doesn't have all the different modes and all the different weapons and everything like that. So I see what you're saying now, and I agree. I've been wrong this whole time. Sean was wrong. And okay. Splatoon is an amazing game, and
it's
everyone
amazing
should buy it.
Because we spent like this is shout outs to all the commenters and all the tweets and all the people who have been helping me try to convince Sean. Thank you guys, it worked. Mission accomplished banner behind me right now.
That's not a great reference.
No, it's not. Sorry. Don't worry. But it because, you know, I'm just like, I couldn't think of any reason why you wouldn't like the game, because you actually like shooters, which I don't, and you like Nintendo stuff, you know, and you were a fan of the Dreamcast, and you know, it's like, but I will totally agree with you. I was also pressured into getting this game by my child after the first test fire. But But more so, I was bullied into getting it right away, so much so that it is one of the very few Wii U games that I have digitally.
Because, I did get a physical version.
Because usually, getting, you know, for me to get a game requires me to send it to someone in the States and have them ship it to me, because Amazon Japan will not do imports. Probably because they're worried that people will buy it, realize it's region locked, and try to return it. You know, So they just don't do Wii U imports, and places that do are so incredibly expensive. With the shipping and, you know, their cut, that usually I just have it sent to like my parents or to you, or have, you know. And I was like, we'll get it later. And my daughter's like, but daddy. And I wasn't totally convinced. Like, I thought the test fire was okay, much like you. But I went and got it, and I think I put, I don't know, about 300-400 hours into it now. Well, like, wow. That's how many hours have been put into it. But it's not all me, because actually my daughter started just like your son watching play, but now she plays it, and she plays it online.
Okay.
And she's pretty good at it. Like, she can't do anything but rollers, because same thing.
Right,
the rollers. Camera's tricky.
He prefers the roller too. Yep.
Just because that's easier, but she's actually become pretty good at it. Like, She's not never like number one on her team, but she's usually also not number four. Okay. When she plays online, just because, you know, and I'll help her along with it. I'll be like, squid form now, get more ink. And my wife is like, you're being pretty strong on her, but you know, she needs that. She needs to learn how to game better.
Right.
But you know, she does well. She knows how to go to where her team needs. She is a sitting duck for the enemies usually, but since she's a roller, she's mainly just trying to cover ground. So if she can go to an area where the other team's not really focusing, she gets quite a few points and does well for her team.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's not doing ranked battles because I have a reputation to uphold.
Exactly.
But I do ranked battles, and I'm such a fan. She dressed up as the Splatoon character for Halloween. I think I posted those pictures up too.
Yes.
And so did my youngest, who's three now, and she's not. She doesn't play the game, but she enjoys watching it as well. It's colorful. It's cartoony. It's fun. It's a good game.
Well, what do you have for, do you have a future retro for us or a pile of shame?
Shame! Too many shameful things, you know, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'll just go through a couple of my recent shames. I got the Resident Evil Wii U game, and I haven't really played it. And I got Watch Dogs for the Wii U, and I haven't really played it. And I got Assassin's Creed 3 for the Wii U, and I haven't really played it. I think the main reason for these games is not necessarily a strike against them for quality. It's just that their content is too mature for me to play it on the family TV. But it is a game that I think benefits from being on the television, especially Watch Dogs, which is using a double, you know, two different screens for parts of it.
Okay.
A game that I have been able to play, and probably my first kind of open worldy game that I've been able to play in many years, is on my future retro, and that is a game we mentioned earlier, the Lego City Undercover, and I would call it Lego Grand Theft Auto.
Nice.
Because you're playing the other side of the law on that one. You're a police officer. Arresting criminals and things like that, but like, you know, since you're a police officer, you can commandeer any vehicle you need in the game, and you can just break stuff. And I don't know, it's just funny. And I only previously play a little bit of a Lego Batman game and a little bit of a Lego Star Wars games, and I knew they were funny and self-referential, but this one's really good because it's set like 80s, 90s cop movie, like kind of the over-dramatic, like there's a character who's very Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry-esque, and there's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of those buddy movies and things like that. You've got your police chief who's always yelling at you for being a maverick.
Nice.
And it's great. It never really got a lot of attention, and I ignored it because I remember when the Wii U was announced, that was one of their big titles that they were announcing, and they're like, "And we've got a Lego game," and everyone's like, "Ugh." But it's really good. Like, it's really, really good. The only problem I have with it is the loading time is awful.
Oh.
Just awful. Like literally like 45 seconds to a minute between stages.
Okay.
Which is unacceptable for, you know, I'm not exactly sure. Once the game is running, it goes pretty good. But like, it's just funny. You can pretty much break anything in the game and collect the pieces. You just go around. The story's funny. Nobody dies. You know, it's E10, but, you know, my daughter gets a kick out of it. She doesn't get most of the jokes and the references.
Sure.
But enough. There's enough slapstick and stuff in there that's funny enough for her, though. Anyway, so recently that's the game she's having me play that she likes to watch.
Nice.
I picked it up. Like, one of the reasons for this is because, like, a lot of those, like, Lego games are kind of cheap and they drop in price quick. Mm-hmm. But this one is probably, like, still full price now. And, you know, I'd always tried to pick up something a little, you know, with more meat to it, so I thought. But it's actually a really full game. And I kind of want to get the 3DS version. There's a 3DS version that's a side story.
Wow.
So I'm interested in picking that up. So... if you like what's going on with Lego Dimensions, that's what it's called, right? Lego Dimensions. Yeah.
Yeah.
You might want to try to pick this one up. I think your boys would really like it too.
Oh man. Okay. Buying video games for my kids. What's next?
Well, you know, you can play it too. And it's actually, I enjoy it a lot. Alrighty then.
Yeah. To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Denchimail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more. Okay, well, I guess that's about all the time we have for this week. I did want to mention one thing about the Lego sets, and I don't see anything. So I mentioned like the big TARDIS set that does exist, but I don't see anything that links it to Lego Dimensions. This one does come with like the TARDIS in the council area, but it comes with the 11th and 12th Doctors, Clara, a Weeping Angel, and a Dalek.
They've got Weeping Angel Legos. I don't know. I don't even know how I feel about that, to tell you the
truth.
What? No, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's Weeping Angel. The Lego Dimensions pack does have the 12th Doctor as well, but he's wearing a different outfit. You'll have a duplicate, but you know, that's okay. He's different outfit, so you're all good. And of course, you can put any figure you want on the stand, so you can stick good old number 11 with his fez if you really want to on there. But it'll still be Capaldi in the game, of course. But there you go. Also, yeah, there was news that they wanted to include the Doctor in Lego Movie 2, pending BBC approval.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything is awesome.
Exactly. So, yep. Thanks for waiting that out with us. That little dry spot we had in the podcast, but we are back. and hopefully better than ever. And we'll be back next week too, probably.
Yay!
Almost certainly.
Almost certain.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you once again for listening. It's good to be back. The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network. Okay, yeah, so I guess until then, the dojo is...
Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio.
You forgot Zune.
You know, I made that joke last week on the Nerd and Tie podcast and it got cut off.
Oh, man.
Famicom Dojo.
All right.